Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say hello and a very warm welcome to everybody to our service of morning prayer today. And we want especially to welcome all those who are joining us online and those who are joining us on the dial-up today. We're delighted to have everybody with us as we worship together on this Sunday after Ascension. Today in our service, we're going to be thinking a little bit about the sorts of things that Jesus calls us to do and the way that he calls us to live as his people. And just a few notices for the week that is to come. As pretty well everybody here, I think, will be aware today, we've launched our new online booking system, and we're delighted that everybody has been so helpful just in registering online for our services. We found ourselves last week in a position where we had to turn some people away, and we're really trying to avoid that if we can. So if there are some people here who find it difficult to book in online, please have a word with the wardens on the way out, and that's particularly just for people who find it difficult to register. And there's also the option for those who don't use the internet, you can phone the parish office on Tuesday or Wednesdays from 9 until 2, and Linda will help you to get booked in. So thank you so much to everybody for cooperating with this system. And we're also aware that on the website, there is a contact detail for the webmaster, and that's only to be used in the event if you're cancelling. So if you find that you've booked and you cannot come, you just contact that email address for the webmaster. But the webmaster is not able to book you in. So we're just reminding people of that this morning. Also to mention, in the week that is to come on Tuesday, for members of the Select Vestry, we're going to be meeting at 6:30 over Zoom this coming Tuesday. On Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock, our online Alpha course will be continuing, and the details again are available on the screen. And on Thursday evening, the parish prayer meeting takes place at 7 over Zoom. Next Sunday, our services are Holy Communion at 10 o'clock and at 11 o'clock and at 7. So as we come together to worship God on this Sunday after Ascension, the choir are going to lead us in the singing of our opening hymn, How Shall I Sing That Majesty?
Thank you.
Our service today is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our psalm appointed for today's service is a psalm that speaks of the power of God's word in our lives. And so we're going to stand and we're going to say our psalm together as we say psalm number one together. Blessed are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the assembly of the scornful. Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on his law day and night. Like a tree planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither, whatever they do, it shall prosper. As for the wicked, it is not so with them. They are like chaff which the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked shall not be able to stand in the judgment, nor the sinner in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading today is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, beginning at verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. they will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, loved justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the young plant come up and a garden causes seeds to sow and to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Here ends our Old Testament reading. And in response to that reading, the choir are going to sing the hymn, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God.
Thank you.
Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Luke in the 4th chapter, beginning at the 14th verse. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Here ends our New Testament reading. One of the groups of people that we pray for often in our prayer meetings are those who are persecuted for their faith around the world. And in the next video that we're going to see, we're going to hear about what that's like at first hand to be persecuted for your religious beliefs. And we're going to hear about a very powerful response to that. You may find this video a little bit challenging, but it's also a very powerful one as we hear about the persecuted church.
Zechariah, he was a nice person. He was a decent person. He was very smart. He was the only Christian in the whole of the school. And I hated him. You know, because I thought as a Muslim, I must be better than him. But he was better than I. We start to beat him every single day that we come to school. And we agreed on that night, we need to kill him. It was dark. It was cold. And we went ahead of him. And we were five of us. We climbed a tree and we waited there. And from far away, we saw that a torch coming. And the light became bigger and bigger as it approaches us. And the minute that he just went under the tree, we jumped at him. He was crying, he was screaming, he was shouting. We broke his arm, we broke his leg, he started to bleed. And because he started to scream and begging for help, I put my hand in his mouth so that no noise will come out of him. Similar when you're slaughtering a sheep, you know, it's just shivering, and the others were beating him. I felt very proud. You were actually doing something for Allah. You know, you want to please him. And suddenly, he could no longer breathe, and we could not hear his voice. We left him in the wood between life and death. We went back, you wash yourself, and you pray. And Zechariah never came back. We've never seen him again. I was born and raised up in a very, very fanatic Muslim family. When I was a child, my father brought me to a Quran school. I was only 8 years old, and my father just dropped me there. They shaved my head. We sat in a circle. The Shaykh sat in the middle of the circle, and he has a very long whip. I was forced to memorize the Quran. Every mistake that you do, this whip will just come right in the middle. of your head. You're not allowed to cry, because in our culture they tell you men never cry. I was crying every single night. And they told me you belong to the Islamic Ummah, and that's why you fight for it, you stay loyal to it. I started to hate people, to hate everybody who's not a Muslim. And I especially used to hate the Jews. So I was preparing myself to go and fight for Allah in the jihad. But every night I went to bed, and when we put the light off, I did not know what will happen with me if I die. My cousin was severely sick, and the doctors, they said he's going to die. They gave him only a couple of days. And one day came two people, they were Coptic Christians. And one of them wanted to greet me, and then I saw he had a cross. And then I pulled my hand back. I said, well, I'm not going to touch a hand with a cross. And then he said to me, we hear that this child is sick. We would like to pray for him. And only out of politeness, I told them, okay. And they started to speak to God like a person that he speaks to his friend. They said, God, please heal this child. The minute that they said, Amen, this child opened his eyes for the first time in 4 weeks. He started to move his hands. He started to speak. He sat down in his bed and he started to walk. And one of those two persons who prayed sat down with me. And he said to me, you know what? The real miracle is that God wants to change your heart. Do you believe that Yeshua is alive? And I told him, yeah. Because according to the Islamic tradition, God took him to heaven and he's alive and he will come back one day. And he said to me, because he's alive, you can speak to him. That changed my entire life. And when I started to read the scripture, nobody needed to convince me to love the Jewish people. The only way for Muslims to start to love the Jews is when they meet Yeshua. I loved my family, I loved my father, I loved my mother, and I loved my community. And when I decided to follow Yeshua, my grandfather and my father said to me, you are no longer one of us. They made a funeral. They invited friends and family. They brought a coffin to the cemetery, and they said, our son is dead. To be declared dead with no family. I said to God, where are you? I hear this voice, and this voice told me, you know that the grave where your name is written, you know that grave is empty. And guess what? My grave is also empty. I went to Egypt for the first time after many years, and I was in a pastoral conference. And one of the Sudanese pastors came to me, it's an elderly man, gray hair, started to speak to me, and he asked me, where did you come from? I told him my story. He started to cry. And then I asked him, why are you crying? And he said to me, do you remember me? My name is Zachariah. And suddenly, I remembered him. The last time I saw him, it was in that dark night. I could hear suddenly the way that he was screaming, even though that was 25 years. Suddenly I started to see his broken arm, broken legs. I started to see the scars which I caused him. I started to be full of shame. I was a bad person, yeah. I was terrible. So Zachariah looked me straight into the eye again, and he said to me, yes, sir, because you hated me so much, I was always praying for you. He opened his Bible, and the minute he opened his Bible, I saw that my name was written in the first page. I hated him. He prayed for me. On that day, God confronted me. He said to me, "Even before you start to think about me, I was thinking about you. To love those who hate you, you need someone whose name is Yeshua."
So now we stand together to affirm our faith in the God who loves us and who believes in us as we share together the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our special collect prayer for today, the Sunday after Ascension Day, as we remember Jesus our King. O God, the King of glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. Mercifully give us faith to know that as he promised, he abides with us on earth to the end of time, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. And as we think of Jesus' ascension into heaven, the feast day that was celebrated on Thursday, that's the theme of the next hymn that the choir are going to sing for us, Hail the Day That Sees Him Rise.
Oh,
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I heard an interview with a pop idol of the early 1990s on the radio recently, and he was talking all about the pressures of fame. And he spoke of it as being a double-edged sword. There was something lovely about knowing that your music and your performances brought joy to great numbers of people. But there was also a dark side. It was impossible at the height of his fame to go to a restaurant, to go to the shops, without being surrounded by throngs of screaming fans who had this image of who he was and the sort of person that he was. And trying to meet those expectations drained his life of joy and creativity for a while. Now, this guy in his interview had a sense from quite early in his life that he was destined to be famous. And so as he started to write songs and he began performing, he knew that one day this was going to become big. And the scale of it, though, really surprised him, because he actually became the man that every teenage girl wanted to adorn their bedroom wall for that period of the 1990s, when his band were at the height of their fame. Sometimes leaders and film stars, musicians and sports people have a charisma about them, and their presence brings a certain something into the room as they enter. And we might wonder today, where does Jesus come into this kind of recognition? Just after his baptism and his time of testing in the wilderness, we hear today about Jesus' return to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Already, news had been getting around about him, and there was a particularly significant detail that Luke mentions at the beginning of our New Testament reading today that I think is key to what drove and enabled Jesus to fulfill his call to ministry. Comes in the very first verse of that reading from Luke's Gospel, where we're told Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit of God. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit of God. And what we often forget as believers in the Church of God today is that we too have been marked by that same Spirit through our baptism, when we were set apart and God was invited to come and to live inside us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we were baptized as infants, as our parents and godparents made promises on our behalf to put God at the center of our lives, a very powerful dynamic or equation began to work itself out. And the equation looks a little bit like this. It sees weak and ineffective people and dependence on the power of God. When those two things are combined, you have potential for the transformation and healing of the world. And I'm always really interested that Jesus began his public ministry in the synagogue, because powerful things can happen whenever the Word of God
is proclaimed and read publicly. And that's why that always plays a part in our worship services in the Church of Ireland. Someone reads the scriptures, people listen, and as they do so, things are very often stirred in their hearts. And on this occasion, Jesus read from the prophet Isaiah the very same passage that we heard as our Old Testament reading this morning. And what's interesting and powerful as we seek to apply God's word to our own lives is trying to visualize or to work out what that might mean for our lives in practice. If we are serious about being disciples of Jesus in this place, at this time, what might Isaiah's words look for us and for our church? And very often in the Church of Ireland, our default position is maybe that this reading is meant for someone else and not for me. But Jesus doesn't seem to see it like that at all. And as the eyes of everyone in the synagogue fell upon him after his reading, he said very simply, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And what I think he was doing when he said that was that he was asking us to think about our lives. What about you? What about me? It's all very well to come to our church on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening, to hear lovely hymns, to share powerful words from the Psalms, to hear prayers, to be part of the worship. But if we are his disciples, his followers, what relevance or application does what we do here have on our everyday lives? That's a big question. But Jesus spoke of the call to announce good news to the poor. Who are the poor in our society? Well, there are certainly people who are materially poor, and they are increasing in number in these days of the pandemic when so many families' finances have been affected so severely by the events of the past year. But you know, there are also many people who are impoverished through a lack of company and friendship, and through a complete ignorance of the things of God in their lives, through never having heard anything of his love for them, and through a lack of opportunities. And so I wonder, do we have anything to offer or anything to tell such people? And I believe with all of my heart that we do. Because we want to tell people that they're cherished and valuable in the sight of God. But you know, the most wonderful music and liturgy, the most heartfelt and stirring sermon or prayers will do little unless our words and our lives as disciples demonstrate that we mean and we believe all that we proclaim at our services. Jesus spoke about proclaiming freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, release for the oppressed. And of course, there are so many people in the streets around us who are imprisoned by addictions, by disappointments, and by a deep despair about the future. And there are people too who are blinded by the delusions that the world and the media want to present to them. And there are folks who are desperately oppressed by years and years of people telling them that they're no good and they've nothing much to offer. And the needs may well sound overwhelming to us, and the odds might well have been stacked against Jesus. But Jesus had something incredibly powerful on his side as he began his public ministry. He had all the frailty of the human condition, but what he had was the power of the Spirit of God. And he knew that this combination was irresistible and that nothing could defeat it. He was weak in himself, but he was anointed by the Spirit of God. And the scary or challenging thing about this Bible reading this morning from Luke's Gospel is that I believe he's telling you and I exactly the same thing. And so rather than praying for God to bless the oppressed and those who are struggling, the poor and the weak, what he seems to be suggesting is that he will do these things, but he will only do them through us, through his disciples, through those who choose to follow him in his way. And I don't know exactly what that is going to look like here as we emerge from this lockdown. But my suspicion is that it'll be messy and it'll be difficult and it'll be challenging. And all we can really offer is our weakness and our willingness and humbled, prayerful lives. But I suspect that if we do have the courage to offer this with our whole hearts, powerful and surprising things are bound to happen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the witness and testimony of Jesus as he opened up your word in the synagogue. Thank you for his willingness to rely on you and on the power of the Holy Spirit to bring hope and healing to a broken world. We pray today for your church as it continues that mission in the circumstances that we find ourselves in. We pray for David, our bishop. We pray for creativity and courage in proclaiming good news to the poor, in binding up the brokenhearted, and proclaiming freedom for the captives. Help us, we pray, to work well together and to be guided by you in the ways in which we might make a difference in our community. And we ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We pray for the nations of the world. And as we heard of hostility between Jews and Muslims and Christians, we pray especially today for the terrible situation in Israel, with conflict between Jews and Palestinians. And we pray for the violence and the loss of life to stop. We pray for the intervention of the international community, if necessary, to stop these hostilities. We want to pray for the bereaved and injured on both sides. And we pray for the miraculous power of your love and forgiveness to break through and to heal and to touch hard hearts. We also pray today for the COVID crisis in India. We pray for wisdom and courage for the government there to act decisively to prevent the spread of the virus. And we also pray for the international aid that is needed to bring relief and to impact those who are so vulnerable and in desperate need at this time. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. We also want to pray today for those who've been elected to senior positions in politics. We pray this weekend for the new leadership of the DUP, for Edwin Poots and Paula Bradley. And we pray for a wisdom in moving forward. We ask for a willingness to be enabled to work right across all the parties in the executive for the common good. And we pray for all the challenges that need to be overcome in order to make that possible. We also want to pray this morning for all who are in prison at the present time, struggling with the isolation and the guilt that accompanies serious crime. We pray for all the women and juveniles in Hyde Bank Detention Center. We give thanks today for the support that our Mothers Union have been able to offer in the prison. And we pray for good relationships to be rebuilt once visiting can recommence safely. We also want to take a few quiet moments now just to pray for any known to us who are ill, either at home or in hospital, thinking of those waiting for important tests and surgeries and treatments. And in the quietness, we pray for the healing love of the Lord to touch their lives. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. As we think about that kingdom that Jesus sought to introduce and to bring into our world, and his invitation to us to be a part of that process with him, that's the theme of our next hymn. The choir are going to sing this hymn, and they're going to sing the chorus after the first and the last verses of Beauty for Brokenness.
Thank you.
We bow our heads for God's blessing. May Christ, our exalted King, pour on you his abundant gifts, make you faithful and strong to do his will, that you may reign with him in glory. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Thank you so much to everybody for sharing with us in our worship today, whether you're here in the building or whether you are at home. It's been really good to have you with us today. And our closing hymn is again a prayer really for us as we go into this week that is to come, that we together would work wherever it is that we're situated to build God's kingdom. Your kingdom come, O God.